goodness, what a wonderful presence of the Spirit of God this morning. My word. And part of that has to do because you have come together, because he said, wherever two or three come together, I'll be there in the midst of them. And so, my goodness, what a wonderful, wonderful presence of the Spirit this morning. We are working our way through a series in Revelation, and I'll go on to tell you that the focus of the series, let me remind you again, the focus of the series has been the practical application of the book of Revelation. It is not so much about the timeline or the symbols, although I'm not saying any of that is irrelevant. I'm not saying any of that doesn't matter. I'm just saying that's not the approach the Lord has me taking right now. I think sometimes we have focused so much on the prophetic future that is talked about here that we've missed the practical application for today. And in that, what we found is hope. In the first series, message in this series, we talked about things are not as they seem. Christ is King. Can I get an amen? That's practical application from the book of Revelation for where we live today. We talked last week about Christ and his church and how that even when the world is screaming, Christ is still working in his church and through his church. Can I get another amen? And that is practical application hope for today. In fact, to just give you kind of an idea of what we're talking about, last week, you remember, we heard the phrase over and over and over again, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We hear that over and over and over again. And the last place you hear that is at the end of chapter 3. And then when you hear that at the end of chapter 3, you don't hear anything else about the church until the very, very end. But what's interesting is he's saying, I'm going to speak to the church, and then he begins to. And so this whole book, the point I'm making is this whole book, everything that he says from the beginning to the end, this whole book is written to the church. And the question that we have to ask ourselves, why would he lay out all of that future and all of those scenes and all? Surely he did not tell the church that to frighten them about the future, right? It was instead to give them hope to live in the day and age that they were living. And that's what we've been talking about for a couple of weeks now. And this morning, I want to talk about another point of hope. I want to talk about Christ's perspective. Christ's perspective. If there's one thing we need today, no, not if there's one thing, there's many things, but one thing we do need today is to start seeing things like God sees them. Let me say that again. We need to stop letting the world and the news and the media and the social media interpret what we're seeing. We need to see things as God sees them. Amen? Amen? Because perspective makes all the difference in the world, right? All of you have seen some of those pictures. And just to kind of illustrate what I'm talking about here this morning, look here this. Perspective, right? Is everything. This guy, it looks like he's holding the Eiffel Tower in his hands. You know, perspective is everything. Here's another one. Here's another one. Perspective is everything. Right? The perspective that you have, it means everything. I got one more. I couldn't pass this one up. Just one more. I'm sorry. It just was too good. Perspective is everything, isn't it? And that's why in this world today, we must have Christ's perspective. Amen? We must see things as Christ saw them. Let me remind you that John experienced the book of Revelation. Many times we study it and we draw all of these timelines and maps and charts. He experienced it. And part of that experience was a crucial change in perspective. Let me show you what I'm talking about this morning from Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I looked, and there before me was standing an open door in heaven. And the voice that I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit. And there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. That verse goes on to talk about the four beasts, faces there that were there. And the eye covered on the front and back with eyes. And just fantastic, fantastic scenes that were there. And that chapter ends with them worshiping, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. perspective changes everything. Father, we come to you right now and we ask that for the next few moments, you will focus us on your perspective, on the way you see, and help us, Lord, to get into a place where we can see as you see, that we might live as you would have us to live in a world that in our day seems to be shifting under our feet, Lord. Help us to have the perspective that you have. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. Perspective changes everything. The perspective and the way that you see it changes everything. I want to talk for just a few moments this morning on three phrases from the first part of these verses that I just want to focus on just for a moment this morning, and then I want to apply it into our lives this morning, because here's what I believe. I believe there is hope in this passage for you and I living today. Yes, it is prophetic. Yes, I do believe that this is a that you can easily see here in this open door and then being called up the rapture of the church. I'm not disregarding that any whatsoever, but you understand John was not experiencing the rapture of the church, not in that moment, right? You understand what I'm saying? John was not experiencing the rapture of the church. What John was experiencing was God calling to him, was Christ calling to him. And I want to just kind of unpack that just for a moment. Notice what he says. After this, I looked therefore before me, a door standing in heaven, and a voice, the voice that had spoken to me at first. Let me just remind you before I get to what I really want to talk about this. And that voice, Revelation chapter 1 tells us, is the voice of Christ. It's that same voice. He said, the voice that first spoke to me, you can go back there and read it. I talked about that in the first week, and you can go listen to it online or get a CD if you like. It's the voice of Christ. And here's what it says. Here's what it says. I want to show you three phrases here that are important. One is this, come up here. Don't you love the fact that God is speaking to him, that Christ is speaking to him, and he calls him to himself? He is calling. He says, come up here. And that word come is actually an interesting phrase there. It means to ascend or to climb to the same spot. You understand what God was saying to John in this moment. Now remember, John's world seems to be going out of control. He's in the midst of a vision from God, an incredible vision from God. In the midst of that, God says this, he says, come up here. And this was, you understand what this was? This was in Christ inviting John to come up where he was and see things like he saw them. Aren't you glad this morning? I am so glad this morning that when we are in the midst of a situation, whether you talk globally where we are in the world today, or whether you're talking about personally, I am so glad, Joy, that God still in the midst of that says to me, come up here, Glenn, see things as I saw them. If you come up and sit with me, you'll see things as I see them. There's an invitation in that. There's hope in that, church. There's hope when you understand and realize that this is this invitation. This was an invitation to see it from Christ's perspective, an invitation to see it from John's point of view. God was saying to him, come up here. Listen to me, church. I believe today God is still calling a people to himself that will come up here and sit with him and see things as he sees them. If there's anything that we need today, I'm going to tell you, we are living in a day today. I may repeat this several times before I get finished this morning, but we are living in a day today where we need people who have spent time with God, who can look into the situation and see it like God sees it, and call it like God calls it, and live it like God says live it. The world has changed, church. It has shifted under our feet. The ground has shifted under our feet, but that doesn't mean you have to be off-footed. That doesn't mean you have to be unstable. You can still come up here and spend time with him and see it like he sees it. He says, come up here. Come to me. Come up here. Arise is the word. Ascend. Climb to the same spot. I love the fact that I'm invited to come up and sit in the same spot with him, to stand with him. It's an invitation. And then he says this. He says, come up here, and this is very important, and I will show you things that are to come. The word there, that phrase, I will show you, is actually an interesting phrase. It means allow to see. Listen to me this morning. If you don't spend time with God, you're not going to see what God sees. Right? You're going to see the headlines and it's going to say one thing. You're going to see the news story going across the bottom of the screen and it's going to say one thing. You're going to see the social media and it's going to say one thing. But if you want to see things as God sees them, you got to spend time with him. The word there literally means allow to see or to explain or to clarify. You know what God was saying to John? John, I know in the world that you're living in today, I know, John, that Domitian, the emperor, seems to be ravaging the church. I know he's casting them in the dens. I know that he's putting them to death. I know that he's hanging them, crucifying them on a cross. I understand that, John, but if you come up here and you sit with me, I will clarify it for you. You'll start seeing it like I see it. You'll start knowing it like I know it. You'll start experiencing it like, if you just come up here, John, and spend a little time with me, you'll see it, I'll clarify it for you. Oh, church, if there has ever been a time that God is calling a people to himself so that he can clarify some things that are going on, we are living in that time now. I believe he's calling a people to himself, a people to himself. He said, Glenn, I know you see what's on the headlines. I know you see what's going on, but Glenn, if you'll just come up here, I'll clarify it for you. I'll put it into focus for you. I'll show you where it fits into my grand plan, and you'll understand that things are not as they seem, that Christ is still king. He is still king. I want to clarify it for you. I want to explain it to you. I want to make it clear to you this morning. Can I tell you something this morning? When you see things from Christ's perspective, it begins to get clearer and in focus. And this is true on a global scale. Listen, the headlines begin to make a little more sense when you see it like God sees it, right? All the stuff that we see going on in the world, when you spend some time with him and he clarifies it and he focuses it and he shows you where it fits in his plan, it makes a little more sense then. Can I tell you something? It's true on a personal level too. Because while you may not be fighting Domitian, some of you this morning may be fighting your own demons, maybe fighting your own devils, maybe fighting the own things in your life that are going. And I'm telling you, that invitation is for you this morning. If you'll come up here, if you'll sit where he is, if you'll let him clarify and explain it to you, then it'll begin to make a little more sense. Then you'll know how to pray, you'll know how to live, you'll know how to speak, and you'll know how to be quiet. Oh, I didn't get a very amen there. Because sometimes God says speak, and sometimes he says stand, and the other time he says just be quiet and just be still. But see, to know that, you got to come up here. To know that, you got to be in his presence. You got to spend some time with him. You got to let him show you and explain to you and clarify what is going on. And when you see things from Christ's perspective, it clarifies. So that's two phrases. Let me just point out one more phrase this morning. And I want to spend just a moment here talking about it. Notice what it says there. And or at once I was in the Spirit. That phrase in the Spirit is a fascinating phrase. It's the exact same phrase, by the way, that appears in Revelation chapter 1. Because it says, I, John, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard the voice of a trumpet, and I turned, and it was one like unto the Son of Man, right? And it says, and I fell as a dead man at his feet. It's the same phrase in the Spirit. It's a fascinating phrase. The phrase literally interpreted, the phrase means in the current or breath of air, a current of wind or a breath of air. That's what it literally means. But what does it mean for you and I? What does it mean for us? Because here's what I think. I think sometimes we read this and we read it with an exclamation point behind it. I was in the Spirit, right? We read it with an exclamation point. We read it with a wow, if you will. I was in the Spirit. And I'm not saying that there wasn't something fantastic going on here, but I would propose to you this morning that there may have been something far more practical, far more intentional, far more ordinary going on here than you and I realize. This exact same phrase appears in another place in Scripture where Paul is talking about spiritual warfare. Remember, in Paul, he says, finally, my brethren, Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Listen, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, about spiritual darkness, about spiritual against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places or in high places. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against him in that day. And then he goes and he begins to talk about the armor. Your loins girt about with truth. The breastplate of righteousness. The helmet of salvation. The shield of faith. The sword of the spirit. The feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And he talks about all that. But then it says something else that we often don't quote in verse 18. And I want to show it to you this morning. Notice what it says. And pray in the spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. What I'm trying to show you this morning is this. This phrase in the spirit that sometimes we read in Revelation with an exclamation point, with a wow, according to Paul here in Ephesians, was not supposed to be unordinary or extraordinary at all. What Paul was saying is this is the way you got to live. It may be that what Paul was saying is this is the ordinary. The ordinary way to live. That look, you are living in a time when you are not fighting against flesh and blood, but you are fighting against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So you need to do what? You need to be in the spirit at all times. See, we read it with an exclamation point because if we can make it extraordinary, then we don't think we have to live it. That was John. The apostle, right? Paul here in Ephesians makes this the ordinary. It may not have been at all that this was an unusual experience. It may have been that this was the normal experience for the Christian. And can I tell you what I do know? I do know that today in the life that we're living, in the world that we are living in today, I do know this, that you and I must be living so close to Christ that we can hear and feel the breath of his spirit so that we know how to live in the day and age we're living in today. We live in the day and age that we're living in today. It may not be that this was unusual at all, but rather the normal way to live a Christian life. Can I tell you something, church? I'm going to say it again. The world has shifted. And what was normal cannot be normal anymore, right? In fact, we're going to have to start living supernaturally, naturally. We are going to have to start living extraordinary in an ordinary way. I mean, it's going to have to start to be an ordinary to live extraordinary. It's going to have to start being natural to live supernatural in the day and age we live today. But I'm telling you, when you do that, then you can come up here. He will speak to you and you'll see it from his perspective. You'll see things as he sees them. Now, I don't know about you, but that gives me hope. That gives me hope, church, to know that I can come to him, I can sit with him, and I can begin to make some sense of what's going on. You do understand this morning that that the spiritual realm is not way out there somewhere. It's just behind the veil. The spiritual realm is just behind the veil, and you do understand that today, the day that we live in, the day that you and I live in today, that the Spirit is working and is moving in the day that you and I live in today. You do understand, don't you, this morning, that the same Spirit that this week, the same Spirit that was behind the Ayatollah calling for the destruction of Israel, is the same Spirit that was operated when Pharaoh said, kill all the male children. It's the same Spirit that was operating when Herod said, kill all the male children. It's the same Spirit that was operating when Hitler said, exterminate the Jews. It's the same Spirit that today is operating when the Ayatollah says in 25 years, there won't be a state of Israel anymore. But what you and I should not do is allow that to cause us to live in fear or anxiety. God says, if you come up here, if you'll spend some time with me, I'll pull the veil back so that you can see it as I see it. You can understand it as I understand it. You can know what it means in this day and age, and you can live above it, my friend. Amen? That's good news. Listen, good news doesn't sell newspapers. Good news doesn't advertise on the TV network. You're not going to get a lot of good news. But you, if you will spend time with him, if you'll spend time in his presence, if you will come up here and allow me to, I'll show you what is to come. I'll clarify it for you. I'll help it to make sense for you. Now, lest you think this is odd. You understand, don't you, that this is the way, God has worked like this always. This is not something strange. God has always worked like this. This idea that there is something behind the veil, something that he wants us to see, something that he wants us to show. In fact, let me just mention a couple of them to you. You remember Elisha and his servant? Elisha, I love it when God does this. God had told Elisha the enemy's plans three times in a row. So much so that the enemy thought that Elisha was coming down there and spying on him. What he didn't know that it was the Holy Spirit that was coming and telling Elijah what was going on. It got so bad that the enemy king, sent a bunch of his men and his chariots down and surrounded the place where Elisha and his servant was. They wake up the next morning. Get the picture now. They wake up the next morning and the servant goes and peeks out the window and all he sees is enemy chariots everywhere. And he says, it's in the scripture. You can go there and read it in 2 Kings. He says exactly what you and I would say. You know what his words were? His exact words were, "Oh Lord, what are we going to do?" You ever been there? Come on now. You ever woke up in the morning and you peel back the curtain a little bit and you said, "You know what, Lord, I'm just going back to bed. I'm just getting back in bed." You peel back that curtain and look and you say exactly what Elijah's servant, "Oh Lord, what are we going to do?" I'm telling you, listen to me. That is true. That is true on a global scale. It's changing so fast. It's changing so fast. It's shifting so fast, both culturally, economically, politically, the world, as far as what, who would have ever thought, and I know I've concentrated on this, but who would have ever thought a few years ago that the ruler of Iran would have been able to say to the United Nations that in 25 years there'll not be a state of Israel? Can I tell you what? There's a lot of opportunity in the world we live in today to pull back the curtain and say, "Oh Lord, what are we going to do?" But Elijah, the prophet, the one who had, well, what had he done? He had come up here. He had been with Christ. It was already clarified for him. He was already sick because you know what he says? He says, "Those that are with us are more than those that are against us." Now, remember, the veil hadn't been pulled back yet for the servant. That means Elijah had already seen it. Elijah has already been up there. It has already been focused for Elijah. Elijah is already focused on it. And then he says this. Then he says, "Oh Lord, pull back the veil and let him see." And it says that the veil was pulled back and the servant looked and the heavens were filled with chariots, with God's warring mighty angels that were standing there. Can I tell you something, church? If you will come up here and let God clarify it and pull the veil back to you, you'll see it as he sees it. You'll know it as he knows it. And then you can live it like he wants you to live it. Come up here. Come up here that I may see, that I may show you, he says. There's another one, and I'm going to mention this. I'm going to have to pull this to a close here in a minute. There's another one. It's kind of a different story. It teaches the same thing. Remember Balaam and his donkey? Same story, but coming at it from a different angle. Remember Balaam's trying to ride down to curse the people of Israel. And the donkey won't go. Any of you had a donkey this week that wouldn't go? Might be a reason for it. Might be a reason for it. Balaam got his whip out and he whipped the donkey. Instead of going faster, the donkey laid down. Right? The donkey laid down. And Balaam said, if I had a sword, I would kill you right here. Right here. Mr. Green had a mule one time that he told me he sold because that mule bit him so many times that he thought he was going to, he almost shot him right between the eyes. He said, that mule was going to make me as mean as he was, and he just sold him, got rid of him. Balaam said, if I had a sword, I'd kill you right here. And the donkey says, I'm sorry, God's just, I mean, there's just something that are just funny. And the donkey said, haven't I been your donkey all these many years and I've never acted like this? I've never done this before. Isn't that who I am? Go and read it. You can read the story. And Balaam answers him. I'm sorry. Something is wrong when you're having a conversation with a donkey. As much as it stuns me that the donkey spoke, it stuns me that Balaam answered him back. And then God says, Balaam, he pulls back and Balaam can see an angel of the Lord standing there in the path with the sword drawn, right? With the sword drawn, and he says, Balaam, if your donkey had not stopped you, I'd have already killed you. You talking about killing your donkey? If he hadn't laid down, I'd have already killed you by now. See, this idea that something's going on just beyond the veil is not as foreign and strange and weird as we might think it is. Ephesians says it's the battle that we're in all the time. How much more important it is then that you and I come up here and let him show us that which is to come. Let him show us. Listen to me. Every morning you need to get up. And I know Revelation is a prophetic book, and I take it that way. But one of the practical lessons that it teaches us is this, is that in any day, any time that you live, there is a necessity to come up here and let him talk to you. In fact, I'm going to tell you, in the day that we are living in today, with the ground shifting like it's shifting, may I advise you, as your pastor, may I tell you, you don't need to start a single day without having come up here first. Because I'm telling you, it's strange. This week, Geraldine sat in her office this week and dealt with an individual that came in. I want to go into all of the details because some of that is confidential. But this week sat and dealt with a person across the desk with a situation that we would have never dreamed a year ago that we'd have been dealing with. Never, ever dreamed. And to that person, it was just as normal, just as routine. And she had to hear what the Spirit was saying, how to deal with this. This week, Danielle replied to a discussion question in one of her college classes, replied to it, saying, this is what I believe and this is what the Bible says. And she, this week, was called on the carpet and told by her professor this week, if you do this again, I will take action against you. It's inflammatory. This week, it's inflammatory. And when you read the whole discussion, you realize that there's absolutely nothing inflammatory about it. It's just she stood for the truth and the truth offended him. That's all it was. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, The world we're living in today requires more than ever before us to come aside and be with Him and hear what He has to say. Let Him pull the veil back and show us what our day is going to be like. Show us the kind of Christians we're going to need to be. Show us when we need to speak and when we need to be silent. The world has shifted. But I know this. God's got a strategy. He's got a plan. He's got it under control. He's got a people that if they'll come to Him, that will walk in victory and in truth. They'll walk in the light and not the darkness. They'll walk in the midst of this, not into people in fear and anxiety, but in hope. And hope. Part of that, though, living there, part of that is coming aside. Coming up here, letting Him speak to us, and living in the Spirit. Living so close to God. That's what, you know, in a practical way. Now listen, that praying in the Spirit, I think it means all kind of things, from praying like you and I as charismatic Pentecostals know about praying in the Spirit. I know it all, but knows all of that. But at the base definition in the Spirit is the breath of God. It means living so close to Christ, Mike, that I can feel the breath of God. And isn't that what you need today? When you see all of this stuff going on in society and all of this stuff going on in our lives, you know what I want? I want to live so close to that when I hear the headlines, I feel the breath of God. That when I see what's going on in the world, I experience the breath of God. That I've spent time with Him, that I've come aside, that I'm walking in the Spirit. See, here's in a sentence, here it is. There is more going on in our world than meets the eye. There is more going on in our world than meets the eye. So live close to Christ and you will see it from His perspective and you will live above it. I don't want to be moved by my sight or my feelings or our emotions. Listen, we cannot afford to react. Instead, we got to act in the Spirit. And to do that, we have to spend time with the Spirit. You see, the world has changed. We are living in a day when we must see things through Christ's perspective, through God's view. And certainly there was something phenomenal going on with John. But it may have been that he experienced that phenomenal, that fantastic, because in his everyday life, he was living in the Spirit. Right? In fact, I find it fascinating. It says, in one version, it says, and immediately I was in the Spirit. He didn't have to get in the Spirit. Right? He didn't have, oh God, something's going wrong. Where are you? Right? Something goes wrong in people's lives. Man, they head to the church house. Till that storm passes and then they disappear again. Then something else happens, they gotta go find God again. Can I tell you, sir? We cannot afford to live like that any longer. The world is changing. I do believe with everything in me, we are living in the last days. God is going to draw the curtain and pull this to bring this to an end. And I'm going to talk about that before I finish with this series. But I'm telling you, you cannot afford to live far away. You got to live close. Too much is shifting. Too much is changing. Too much is going on. We cannot afford to try to navigate this ourselves today. The good news is we have an invitation to come up here and I will show you what is to come and you can live in the Spirit. Close enough to God that His breath. I like to put it this way. I want to live where when God exhales, I inhale. Yeah. When the Spirit exhales, I want to inhale. I want to take in everything that He's saying, everything that He's speaking. So, Pastor, what do we have to do that? There's a lot of stuff I could say. Can I tell you one thing that I think you must do? You must do. You must this week. You must. Get rid of anything that keeps you from living that close to Christ. Whatever it may be. habit, hobby, relationship, addiction, unforgiveness, pride, whatever it may be. Anything that keeps you from living that close to Christ, you cannot afford. I don't want anything to be between me and Him. God, I don't want this secret sin to be between me and you. And listen to Him. I don't want any secret sin between me and you, God. When you exhale, I want to inhale, right? I don't want a hobby that keeps me from spending time with you, Lord. Some of you might have seen yesterday morning that and I'll just use this example. Some of you may have seen yesterday morning that I ran quite a distance in the rain. Loved it. Absolutely had a fabulous time. You know, not one person ran me down when I was running my 7 miles yesterday, wanted me to counsel them. Not one. But I spent time on my knees before I went out and ran down the road. I love running. I absolutely love it. It is so refreshing to me. But listen to me. I'm not going to sacrifice my time with Christ to go out for a run. Now that's me. What is yours? What do you need to plug in there? Is there something in your life that is crowding out your time with God? Is it TV? Is it entertainment? Is it hobbies? Is it habits? It's people that you know the people in your life that are not drawing you closer to God, they're drawing you away. I don't know what that is. I can tell you this, you can't afford it. Not in the day we're living in today. The day we're living in today, you need to be close enough that when God exhales, you inhale so you can come up here, you can spend time with Him, and you can live in the Spirit. That's the day we live in today. The good news is when we do, even when the world gets darker, you can live with hope and with victory. Amen? I want to live that way. I want to live that way. So the invitation this morning, the challenge this morning is this week, jettison those things that may be causing you or not allowing you to live close to Christ. Because we're living in a day that demands it. We're living in a day that demands it. Stand with me to your feet. Yes. I believe the Holy Spirit would have me challenge you this morning. So here's what I want to do. I just want you to bow your head and close your eyes for a second. How many of this morning are standing here? And you say, Pastor, I know exactly what you're talking about. There is that thing, that person, that attitude, that feeling, whatever. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's keeping me from living as close to Christ as I can. When you started speaking, the Holy Spirit put His finger on it. How many of you are here this morning would say, Pastor, that yes, you were speaking to me. I know what it is, and I want to do something about it this week. So lift your hand up. I want to see it all over. Yes. Oh, yes. Just hands all over the place. Hands all over the place. Yes. Yes. You can put them down now. Father, I pray right now for every person that lifted their hands, Lord. Lord, as they lifted their hands, that is an admission. And Lord, there's something in my life, and that is an invitation, Lord, that they want it to be different. And so this week, when they go to their prayer time, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would call them to you, you'd pull the veil back, and you would let them see. You would let them see, Lord, how to deal with that situation, how to deal with that person, how to handle, how to give up that problem, how to lay that forgiveness, unforgiveness at your feet. Whatever it may be, God. So that they are free to that and they can live closer to you than they've ever lived before, God. And I pray that every one of us that are here this morning, God, that every one of us would live in such a way that when you exhale, we inhale, that we will accept the invitation to come up here and see what you are seeing. Allow you to clarify it for us. God, we're not going to be a people that live in fear and anxiety. Even though the world is shifting around us, you're still the solid rock on which we stand. God, I thank you and I praise you for that this morning. I pray that as we go forth from here, we will go hope-filled because we know, Lord, we know that you've got it under control, that you are, Lord, you are pulling the veil back so that we can live as a people that are empowered by the Spirit to live effectively, victoriously in the world that we live in today. I thank you and I praise you for it, God. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Don't you look at me. Listen, this week, come up here. Let him speak to you so that you can go and live as people that are empowered by the Spirit of God. Amen? And doing so, we can live with hope and victory. Listen, this world needs some hope and victory today, and you and I are supposed to be the agents of that because of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. I encourage you today. I encourage you to be back Wednesday night. We're going to be talking about praying and planting. Praying and planting. Till I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. We love you.